In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back, everybody, to another quarantine edition episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine, your co-host here, as always, with my two other amazing co-hosts.
Danny Murphy.
Hey, Casey Balsham.
Yay.
<Sorry. laughs> Wait, delay. I didn't know what was happening.
We'll blame the Zoom and not our own mental slowness, I guess.
Yeah, I just didn't hear anything for a second, so I was like, just say your name, idiot.
I know. I'm drinking bold coffee from a can, so yeah, we're doing it up.
Thriving.
I'm having a La Croix.
Ooh.
I'm drinking just regular coffee in a mug.
Nice.
We love it.
Not that exciting. Okay, so we've had some interesting developments in our Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group.
Yeah. Can you so guys, fun.
Anything we talk about on the podcast, I immediately black out afterwards. So, like, how did this grilled cheese thread come to be? I literally do not remember.
The grilled cheese thread is giving me life. It was, I think it was last week we talked about some kind of grilled cheese, but I talked about how people that put mayonnaise on the outside instead of butter are disturbed,
gross,
sick, really unhappy people. And we ended up there is a huge grilled cheese thread going on, and honestly I think it's my favorite. I might turn it into a coffee table book.
It's a bipartisan issue.
Truly, somebody threw out garlic aioli. There was onions.
Yes.
There's the to dip or to not to dip. Some people are putting mayonnaise on the inside of the grilled cheese sandwich, and I feel like those people should be blocked. But there's a lot of grilled cheese variations, and it's breathed life into my lifeless body.
I also love any major conversation thing that stems from this podcast is cheese related, because the donut cheese incident.
Yes.
This grilled cheese incident. So we've come so far, but also have we?
Wait, so what is your guys' stance on the mayonnaise versus butter versus whatever else was thrown out in there?
I've made my case. It's American cheese and
ew.
It's butter.
Yeah,
you don't
butter.
Like
yes, so American cheese is like garbage cheese.
No, bury me with American cheese. You also get
okay. Here's She's the proud thing. To be an American cheese.
You know what? Listen, fine, because no one else wants it.
In an apocalypse, not only do you have food, but you also have plastic. Oh my God, see, so fuck, you can make a shirt.
I thought you were gonna cry about how much you love American cheese. You're like, are you a plastic?
No, so I was literally. I was gonna sneeze. No, but you can make a shirt out of the plastic. You can fasten shoes to your poor feet.
Okay.
American cheese and me have gone back a long time. I'd fold it into little tiny squares and I'd eat it, and I still do. I fold in four squares. I get.
I used to do that as a kid.
Box. Yeah. Well, I'm regressing.
I feel like Jessica Simpson still does that, and I mean that with love. I feel like that's just like a hard snack too.
Another reason why I fucking love some J Simps.
Oh God, right? Like, she just reminds me of like American cheese, ruffles with the ridges,
Blade.
And just kind of like this classic, yeah. She has no real teeth, but she can afford veneers because of her shoe line. So
wait, she has no real teeth?
Huh? I'm joking. I don't know. I haven't. Oh. I'm not her dentist.
I mean, I don't know. I thought that was like some celebrity tea that you knew that I totally missed because I could.
I got
see
the
that.
Tea on teeth.
You know what? She's so popular right now because of her book. I feel like we should start that rumor that Jessica Simpson doesn't have real teeth. You heard it here first.
Yes.
That's my thing. I'm at the part of quarantine where I'm begging for a celebrity fight. Like, I just want to say something.
Well, Aaron Carter's girlfriend is pregnant. Did you see that?
I just saw that on
Oh, God.
Crazy.
Yikes.
crazy
she is. So,
but she was just in jail for felony domestic violence against him, and now they're having a baby. So I'm a little nervous for everyone involved.
Okay.
Oh boy, Aaron Carter.
Yep.
We'll send him some American cheese.
Yeah.
The baby. Be like, starter.
Listen, it can be your shoes.
You can fasten shoes. Wait, so Sarah, you said you had a chef. You were having a chef weigh in on the grilled cheese situation.
Yeah. So I asked him, and he was like, "Well, how unhealthy do you want it to be?" And I'm like, "It's fucking grilled cheese. Fuck me up. Like, make it as unhealthy as possible.
Fuck me up.
He basically said you want to slowly pan fry it in butter and just like saturate it with butter.
Yes,
you know, it's a bit of a turn on.
Butter.
So the official verdict is butter. I'm sorry, guys. Okay. Mayo team, hate to break it to you, but you're wrong.
Get out of here. I also might suggest a piece of a brioche bread because it's like a little bit sweet and it crisps up nicely. Brioche, American cheese, butter, or leave the world. Leave the earth.
American cheese. I would say I like a sourdough. I also would say any other cheese but American. Cheddar.
I like sourdough too.
A cheddar.
I like a
ciabatta. Ciabatta, any kind of bread. Damn, now I'm hungry.
We're all just hungry.
Seriously, even our producer, even Mike, says no mayo. So
no mayo.
Yeah.
Case closed.
I think I would maybe make an exception for aioli, which is like mayo with a bit of a glow up.
Mayo after a semester abroad. Mayo went to Paris and came back and was like, no, guys, like on the Seine, like it's kind of different. And you're like, shut up, Stacey.
On the Seine. Yeah,
mayo came back and was like, oh, you smoke filtered cigarettes? In Paris, we only smoke them without the filters.
Oh, in Barcelona. Anyway.
Have you guys ever been to Ibiza? Oh, Ibiza, it's so sweet.
Okay. I remember one time someone went to Bartha and they took 10 minutes to explain a drink they had that they loved there. And I was like, that's sangria. They have the most, like, they're like, no, well, they mix like these exotic fruits because you know everything's so fresh over there. And I was like, at the end of it, I'm like, that's sangria from a pouch. I can get it for $7.99.
But Danny, you have a hot take though. You didn't really like Barcelona, right? Or which part of Spain didn't you like?
I have, fuego takes all around. I would say... I hated Barcelona. And I think I just went there when I had I think because the issue is I got advice from people who studied abroad there of what to do. So I would go to places.
They were like 10 when they were there.
That I'm like, this is disgusting. Why would anyone tell me to go here? Where's a nice restaurant? And then I realized I was asking like drunk 17-year-olds basically, where should I spend my time? But I loved Madrid so much. And I kind of liked Madrid more. So,
nice. Good job.
Everyone logged off the Zoom. I'm like, guys,
we're a travel podcast now.
Oh yeah,
we're here first.
It's ironic. Yeah, that'll be our travel podcast because we can't travel anymore. So it's just our reviews of the places. I feel, you know.
I'm in.
It's like, well, I went to Prague like 8 years ago. It was all right.
Right. That'll be our reviews.
And that is the podcast. Yes. TripAdvisor Insider over here. I don't know if they have
that. But I'm excited for this episode that we're doing because kind of ties in a show that I would be watching while quarantine right now if it was around. Because dating shows are all anyone is doing right now. So I feel like it kind of goes with that.
It kind of reminded me of the game segue, we played at our live show also.
Yeah, it was very much like
killer
our dating
first
game.
Date. And we're talking about today the dating game killer.
Dun, dun, dun.
Boom, you love boom. A connection.
Wait, Casey, what's the clue sound that they make in your $36 clue game when someone gets on trial?
So yeah, just so you guys know, I've been doing a lot of good work in the spare time. I've been solving a lot of murders. I spent $36 on an online version of Clue, and then I spent $20 to put it on Robbie's Switch as well. So $56 all in for online Clue. But I play for hours, so it's fine. But I just noticed that there's sound, and every time they get accused of murder, it goes, brum. And so it's a really, and whatever the weapon is, like if it's the glass or whatever, like, cause there's a lot of different scenarios. There's a vampire castle. I don't want to get into it. DM me if you have questions. But it's, if you get it, sound on, kids.
Wow. So you should do that throughout the episode.
Okay. I will. It makes me a little dizzy.
Why the big gasp?
Yeah.
This is the new doing helium. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting dramatic gasping.
Yeah, I'm lightheaded. It's fun.
Oh, man.
But I'll do it for you.
Love it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, the dating game killer, a.k.a. Rodney... I don't remember. Alcala? I actually didn't even look up how to pronounce his last name.
I think Alcala. Like
in
Alcala
the dating sounds game, right. They kept saying Alcala, but I think it's Alcala, yeah.
In the shitty documentary I watched of it, it was Alcala, so honestly, grain of salt.
All right. Alcala. He was born in San Antonio, Texas in 1943, grew up in a middle-class home. The father moved the family to Mexico in 1951 and then abandoned them 3 years later. Kind of rough. Thank you. Then the mother moved the family to LA in 1954 when Rodney was like 11. I can't do the math. Yeah, 11 seems right. Then at age 17, he joined the army as a clerk, which I'm like, how is that allowed? Whatever. All right. In 1964, he suffered a nervous breakdown, went AWOL, and then later was diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder, just to give you some foreshadowing. He claimed he had a genius IQ, but, like, don't they all? I feel like all serial killers do. He went to UCLA, earned a fine arts degree, and studied film under, wait for it, Roman Polanski.
Hello.
This reveal, I know.
You can't make it up. It's truly insane.
Yeah.
Not long after that, in 1968, he began his life of crime. At this time, he kidnapped and raped an 8-year-old girl. And basically, his neighbors saw him lure the girl into his apartment. He assaulted and beat her with a steel bar. And the neighbor who saw him lure her into his apartment called the cops, but by the time they arrived, he was gone. Nice. And so he fled to the East Coast, and he worked as a counselor at an arts camp in New Hampshire using the alias John Berger. The FBI put
Didn't
him on the...
Did Carrie date him?
Who?
The poster
Carrie
always
Bradshaw.
Sticks twice.
Oh.
It was Jack Sarah. Berger. Jack Berger.
Jack Berger.
Oh, Sarah doesn't know any of these people.
Serial killer name.
You could say that again if you watched the show.
Really?
Yeah. He broke up with a good guy. Post-it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's the guy. See, I know some of the references.
Okay. I can't. Don't hate me.
Okay, so he was working at this arts camp. The FBI had put him on the 10 most wanted list, and he actually got turned in by his own campers who saw his wanted poster. And that was in 1971. So he got extradited to California. In 1972, he was convicted of child molestation, which was a lesser charge than what he should have been charged for. But the reason was because the victim's parents refused to let her testify. Right. Then this guy was paroled in 1974 after spending 34 months in jail. But then he was arrested again after he violated his parole. But then again, only served 2 years in jail. And nice. I don't understand how he did this. And then after getting out of jail, he managed to sweet talk his way into working as a typesetter at the LA Times, despite being a registered sex offender.
And I looked up what a typesetter was because I didn't know. A typesetter is a graphic design professional who lays out text in preparation for printing or publishing. They format, style, and arrange text and illustrations for publications. The goal is to make the work clear and legible without any distracting elements, like having the same word repeated in a column. So that's what he did.
Rich. And it was so weird too, because while he was doing these murders, so there'd be stories about the murders that he was like typesetting, which is probably adds to his like the getting off of all of this for him type of situation.
He seemed like he liked to kind of be in the middle of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also truly just feel like the 1970s were an absolute joke. And I feel like every single serial killer, every serial killer was like, oh yeah, he served 2 years in prison for one murder and like got off on a technicality on another murder. And they like, they're never these people that you wouldn't expect. It's like, no, actually they have a long rap sheet, but they were just allowed to roam free.
Yeah. They're like,
and also Ted Bundy was like this.
Yeah.
What's his name? Samuel Little. I guess that was the 90s, oh, yeah. But he was like that. I'm like, how are you just...
It's also, I feel like it's not like, I feel like, yeah, in the 70s, all the killers, like everyone that you talked to was like, that guy was a fucking creep. Like every single person. It's never like, I didn't even know. It's always like, yeah, that guy was weird. That guy was weird. Yeah. He was creepy.
And
he
this was guy grown, was super weird.
So weird. So we'll get into a little bit more of the deeds that he has done and kind of his MO for all of this. So he mostly went under... He mostly went after attractive young women, but also children, kind of going back to the first rape that he committed. He would lure them by offering to take their pictures for his quote-unquote portfolio, which is sort of one of those weird things, too, that it's just like, this is this, like, grown adult going up to, like, teenagers being like, can I take your picture? Can you get in a car with me type of situation?
I know, and which I guess, is like, doesn't everybody know that that's, like, the OG scam?
Listen, I mean,
like, best case scenario, your nudes are gonna get leaked. Worst case scenario, you get murdered. Either way, you're not getting those headshots.
I told you guys about that one day, like, as in, like, not even that many years ago, that I got hired to, like, go up to children and their parents and, like, try to get them to go to these, like, open call photography things, boy. Right?
Oh, no.
Casey, no.
I know.
How are you not arrested?
I know, but it wasn't like, it was like, it was more like a model, like a scam, like, oh,
was there's going to be
industry there. It wasn't Barbizon, but it pretty, like, I left at lunch because I was like, I'm not going to walk around a toy store, go up to parents and be like, your kid is cute. You should take him to this workshop, because it does. It sounds fucking creepy, but I did, yeah, for one day, I trained with this girl who just chain smoked and wore Green Bay Packers jerseys.
Kind of love it.
Oh, yeah. Yikes. And they were like, so there's, you're going to drive around this area. Here's the shops you're going to hit up. You're going to walk around. You're going to look for hot children and then tell their parents, and then you get
hot
paid
children.
If they show up for this, like,
with your,
yeah, you'd like hand them like a thing that was like, oh my God, we're doing an open call. There's going to be casting directors and blah, 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 like all that stuff. And I was like, I'm not doing that. So like, I literally went to like one and I saw, and I was like walking around. I was like, this is fucking disgusting. And so I just went to lunch with this other girl and then I drove home.
I guess you just need TikTok for that now, because everyone on there is like 14, just like dancing their heart out. So you don't need
to.
And
more attractive than me. I'm like, where do you get off?
Listen, that's why I hate TikTok. It's like, it's teaching kids that it's okay to dance in public, and it's not. I didn't dance till I was 31. I hate, is there anything worse than a confident kid? Like, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. No, and also couples. Like, my two trigger points are dancing, because I can't dance, and couples. And TikTok is all just couples dancing. And it's like, can we have one platform where you guys aren't just like shoving your perfect relationship in our face, please? Tinder doesn't
just go
count.
On seamless. Yeah, just go on seamless, Sarah. Seamless. It's easier for the brain. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But he used the Casey Balsham method, I guess, going up to people, telling the kids that they were cute and wanted to take pictures of them. So
it wasn't my company.
No, Casey woman, pioneered the method. Get it right.
One woman described seeing his portfolio, and there was spread after spread of naked teenage boys, and then she was even kind of just like, yeah, sure, I'll take my photo. I mean, I guess
that's
the 70s...
weird that that was boys, and then but that he murdered women. Like, what was they don't really talk about. I guess he didn't murder any of the men that he took pictures of,
or I don't know if they were just photos that, like, he, like, kind of a voyeurism shots or something like that, too. Like,
right.
Just a collection of that. But yeah, so basically he was just going around with a book full of naked pictures, having people hitchhike. The 70s were a different time. And then going into it, after he would lure his victims back to take photos or go back to his place, he would choke them into unconsciousness and then wait until they came back to consciousness, choke them again, kind of going off and on, because in the documentary I watched, they said that he got off on seeing, like, their life in his hands, and like them losing life, coming back, having hope, losing again, really fucking dark shit. And then he would kill them and sexually assault them.
I hate that. I hate him.
Yeah. Oh. I definitely feel like that was an unsub on Criminal Minds.
Oh, yes.
Who would just like almost kill people and bring them and like revive them just to actually kill them.
But that gives me a bellyache.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then this, hold on to your LaCroix, girl, because it gets grosser. he would then photograph the victims after putting their bodies in like all these weird poses. So, and that's how the bodies would be found. So they could deduct that like someone had a photo shoot with them after they were murdered. And he would keep some of their belongings. And authorities down the line claimed that they found earrings belonging to one of the victims and a bunch of other things in a storage locker he had. So in November 10th, 1977, 18-year-old Jill Barcombe's body was found in the Hollywood Hills. She was sexually assaulted, hit with blunt force trauma and strangled with a pair of blue pants. And then just 1 month later in December, Georgia Wickstead, who was 27, was found beaten to death in her Malibu home, who suffered from a similar fate. And it's interesting, too. They said this kind of came around at the time that the Hillside Strangler was going on and had a similar rap sheet. So you have two people doing similar crimes right next to each other. So that also made it harder to pin down exactly who was doing these.
Yikes.
Yikes.
I don't like any of this. This guy is not... He's not nice.
what serial killers do you like?
The people on Clue.
The people on Clue.
Miss Scarlet, Professor Plum. They kill.
I like
a lot
Colonel Mustard. He seems like a cool dude.
So in my... Okay, I don't... Anyway, my version of the game, you can pick. There's like different versions of all of them too. So there's some pretty funny mustards. He's a werewolf in one. Anyway, I've been having a time. I'll show you pictures after this. But here's the thing. Back to Rodney Grossman. He murdered all these people, and then it didn't matter because clearly, like you said, the 70s sucked. There's no fucking trail to figure out. He was a contestant on the dating game in the middle of his fucking killing spree.
Literally.
The dating game was a game that basically it had either like a bachelor or a bachelorette and had three people on the other side of the wall. And you would ask them all these very like cheesy questions and then they would have cheesy answers. And essentially you just couldn't ask them like what their name was, what they did and how much money they made or something like that. And their age, I think. And then the winner would be revealed and then they would get taken on a date or whatever. So that's a synopsis of the show. Pretty easy. So he went on in 1978 and ladies, we've got to have higher standards because he fucking won. Man. He won. He was described as a photographer and the answers he gave were truly, truly disgusting.
Horrifying.
So this is in 1978. So he had already killed four women at that point.
Also, he was already a convicted sex offender. Like,
yes! And
ABC, I'm pretty sure this was on ABC, but maybe I made that up, but like, they already had a terrible track record with vetting people, and they still do to this day.
You're saying I can't get on Flip or Flop, but he can get on the dating game? Like, it's not fair.
I can't get on the circle, but this guy can't get on the dating game? Like, rude.
I applied for The Wall, and I couldn't.
What's
get
that?
On. I don't know. I think
it sounds like what we're going through right now is just me talking to a wall.
I think it was the one that like LeBron James produced. And I think it was just like, you need like a, you know, some kind of like story between somebody and like you answer questions here and they answer questions without hearing anything. And then you win money or something like that. Cool.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, well, I actually have some clips of him because I feel like we can't do it justice, so I'm going to play some clips.
Yeah. So this is him talking to the bachelorette whose name was Cheryl Bradshaw, and she was a drama teacher, which you will clearly hear. and this is how it went down.
All right.
Bachelor number one. Yes.
What's your best time?
The best time is at night, nighttime.
Why do you say that?
Because that's the only time there is.
The only time? What's wrong with morning, afternoon?
Well, they're okay, but nighttime is when it really gets good. Then you
hate
really...
him. Yeah, what the fuck?
I truly hate him. It's like, did you guys ever listen to it? It's like this old Adam Sandler one where they're in a cult and it's like, the nighttime is the right time. Yeah. Have you guys ever heard that?
I don't know why it reminded me of Lauren Bacall's coffee commercial and she says, my favorite time of day is night. It's decaffeinated. Made famous by Crazy Stupid Love too, Emma Stone. But you
know. But also like, what was she even getting at with that question? I don't really understand.
I don't think that they wrote, had a team of dumb writers, but yeah. it's so...
And I know in the documentary, they said that shows back then, like the dating shows were supposed to be like inherently a little extra cheesy.
Yeah.
But they wanted everything to be kind of like an innuendo because obviously you still can't have like over-sexual content on TV, but like back then, especially not. So they loved to just kind of connect dots with like innuendos and things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
But it still was bad.
That is. Yeah. Let's listen to the other clip. Cause it's harrowing. Harrowing.
And I'm going to audition each of you for my private class. Bachelor number one. You're a dirty old man.
Come on, over here.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't want to victim blame, but I hate him, but I also hate her.
What was that?
It's, well, she's a drama teacher. She
truly thought she was going to go on that and then
be discovered. Oh,
Barbara Streisand will retire after seeing me on The Dating Game.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is just, I mean, obviously he's disgusting. And another, one of the other famous lines that, that she asked, if she were to serve him for dinner, what would he be? And he said, I'm called the banana and I look really good. And then she was like, how do I know? And he was like, peel me. And then, so she chose him because she liked bananas. So everybody in this scenario is
oh my
zero.
God,
don't we
all. That's not a reason. What? How bad are the other two guys? Like,
hey, if you match with people on Hinge they like The Office, she can date someone because they like bananas. You know what I mean? They both have the same personality trait.
I mean.
But true.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh, I mean, I think it made her laugh and that was like the thing, but essentially he's revealed and they're like standing next to each other and they were given a date. They were supposed to go on a date that had tennis lessons and then they were going to go to Magic Mountain as you do when you're an adult. And she said that she like, once they got backstage, he started acting like super fucking creepy. And she's like, it made me feel ill. Like I didn't ever want to see this guy again. So they ended up never going on the date. And they ended up like talking to the other two bachelors that were on the show. One of them ended up going on to be like an actor on Seinfeld. He owned the frozen yogurt shop or whatever. The other guy, the bachelor number three, would later say that like Rodney's answers were kind of like weird, that there was actually like some snickering and some booing when he said it. Cause they were just so like blatantly like weird and over sexual.
But then I've got to ask, like, how would you play a dirty old man? I'd be like mad that someone would put me on the spot like this.
I think I would pretend to forget something. I'd try, you know.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because I'm like, you can always like, act creepy when someone's asking you to play something.
I'd be like, no shirts in my backyard. You know what I mean? Actually, should I be on The Dating Game?
I'd be like, yeah, get off my lawn.
That's true. That's true. I'm just like, she asked him really weird questions. Yeah. And he obviously was a creep, but...
Yeah, but the way that he grunted and was like, come over here, was just super.
Oh, yeah, the weird growl. I was like, what are you doing?
Viscerally just blah, blah, blah. So Cheryl essentially didn't go on the date, and authorities speculate that Cheryl's rejection caused him to increase his murder spree, which is probably true. There's something about that I really just don't like. It's like...
That she's to blame.
Or that it would possibly, might make her feel...
Yeah.
A little, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't like that. It's like maybe the rejection, but also this guy was just a fucking killer. Like, don't say, oh, you were like, not that they were saying you should have gone out with him. That's not what they were saying, but it's also just like, to say, I mean, that authorities had to blame this, had to kind of make the reason that he's killing because he was rejected by this woman. It's like, no, why don't you just make him a psychopath like he is? Why
well, I get what you're saying, but in Criminal Minds, they always talk about like a trigger that would cause someone to like up the ante.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what they're saying here, but I totally get that it can read as victim blaming.
And my confusion too, I mean, obviously there wasn't social media and like, you either caught this episode or you didn't, but he was already like arrested and in jail and stuff like that. And known for this, no one in that town and none of the police officers, like why was he able to like get on this set on national television and walk off of it?
I mean, I guess they are still background checks.
I was going to say they are still casting convicted sex offenders on dating shows. So
that's true.
In 1970, when you could kill over 100 people before the government would be like, maybe we should get you off the streets.
It's I'm also like you don't expect somebody that is like in the middle of a murder spree to apply for a show. So I'm sure they weren't just like, I wonder if this guy's killed 4 women already.
Very true.
You know, like
true.
Really wild. So there were more killings. Sarah, do you want to talk about the more killings?
Even more killings. Just go through a brief timeline. June 24th, 1978. Charlotte Lamb, a 32-year-old legal secretary, was found dead in her apartment complex laundry room. She was sexually assaulted, beaten to death, and strangled with a shoelace, similar to the other victims. On June 14th, 1979, Jill Parento, 21, was found strangled in her apartment. June 20th, 6 days later, a 12-year-old Robin Samso disappeared near Huntington Beach Pier on the way to her ballet class. Her body was found 12 days later. And here's what's like actually crazy. So at this point, like the authorities are closing in. Right before his arrest on July 24th of 1979, he met a 16-year-old girl named Cynthia Libby and told her, "I could do anything I want to you and no one would know." And he was 36 at the time, told her he was 24, and she didn't believe him when he told her this and agreed to go out with him again.
She kind of like laughed it off, which is like, what are you doing?
What is wrong with this?
No moisturizer is that good. Yeah.
True. So, but then like the crazy part is like they were supposed to go out on a date. He stood her up because he had been arrested.
Right.
And I told her not.
Didn't like her mom like see it, or like they were watching the news and she was like, oh my God, that's the guy I was like supposed to go out with, like who just got arrested for murder.
Who basically told me that he would murder me and get away with it. Huh, shocking. Cynthia. And then later I feel like she was like, maybe I would have been dead. I'm like, what do you mean maybe?
Definitely
were going to be the next victim.
This is not a Ryan Gosling, Abigail Breslin movie. There's no definitely maybe. It's just a yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch. You were going to be dead. I really hope that she has, like, I don't know, improved her radar since then. Poor Cynthia.
It's hard out there.
Oh, my God. Yikes. I think it was Ryan Reynolds.
I think so, too, actually.
Oh, yeah. Who did I say?
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I don't really like Ryan Gosling. That's what he's on my brain. That's just my, I know.
No Barcelona, no Ryan Gosling?
Nope. I know. I am breaking every girl who went to Syracuse's heart. They're like, wait, what?
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I feel like we all like Ryan Gosling because we feel like we have to like him because it's like part of the culture. Almost like liking Beyonce, but I do like Beyonce. Well, but Ryan Gosling, I'm like, he's fine. If he had never starred in The Notebook, would people still be obsessed with him?
Yes, because he was in Breaker High. Must I mention this wonderful TV show again? High!
Whenever I think of him, all I think of is City of Stars are they climbing? And I'm just like, dude, I know that you're not a successful jazz musician in this, but I would like you to hit a note or at least know what a note is. Anyway.
Asking too much.
Anyway, so of course, obviously, he ends up getting caught for the fucking 800th time, I feel like, at this point.
When he was on TV, did that kind of also lead to one of his arrests? Like, didn't they kind of like recognize him when he was on there? Or someone
I know,
turned him in from that
I know
too,
the initial right? detective saw that and was like, oh, something's up with that. They, because like in the documentary I watched, they were like, oh, that was him. And then they didn't like, they weren't able to immediately arrest him from that, I guess, because he served his his time for that case.
Just from the other ones.
It was the child molestation one. So they were like, oh, he did that. The 36-month sentence, because they didn't know that he left jail to continue in an even deadlier spree. So he was arrested on July 24th, 1979, and then convicted in September 1980 of the rape of a 15-year-old Riverside girl named Monique. So he was sentenced to 9 years in prison. For Monique's case was kind of similar to the other ones where he had her post for pictures, knocked her out, and then sexually abused her. And it gets to this, and I like truly when I got to the end of the doc and reading all this, I was just like, why does this keep on getting like, you think this is a case that's sort of just like signed, sealed, and delivered, like this man is a monster, let's keep him up, no questions asked for the rest of his life. But it gets kind of like, there's so many like here and there, will they release some type of situation that has happened from there. So on June 20th, 1980, he was convicted and sentenced to the death of Robin Samso's murder after they found the earrings in his locker. He tried to claim that he sometimes wore earrings. And I remember his whole thing, he told his sister, I want to say, to go to the locker because he was like, take everything from it and throw it away. And she was like, no.
My favorite part about the earrings thing was that like the one other guy from the dating show who like railing about how this guy's creepy was like, no, dude, earrings were my thing. I would have totally noticed if he was wearing earrings.
He thought he started like men wearing earrings. He's like, I was the first man ever to wear an earring.
Right, so, I'm so sure. Right.
But I thought the old lady dropped into the ocean in the end.
I went and got it for you.
So he appealed the conviction twice. And this is the part I'm like, dude, I mean, I guess if you're in jail, you're going to always try to do this. But he appealed for conviction both in 1984 in 2001, obviously, the death sentence was overturned for both of them. Like, you're not getting out of this. But I remember it was a painful thing that it kind of, and from the detectives that I was watching, they were just like the families that had to rehash all of this shit.
Yeah.
Whenever it was like tried to appeal them was just really painful.
So annoying.
So it was overturned by the California Supreme Court in 1984, concluding the jury was improperly told about his previous sex crimes. So then he had to get convicted again in 1986. And then the 2001 one, it was ruled that the Superior Court judge precluded the defense from presenting evidence material to significant issues. So they're basically just kind of throwing a bunch of Hail Mary tosses to get anything to like.
But I mean, it worked.
Sentence. Yeah, so in which is just infuriating because it's one of those ones that I feel like, do you see what his entire life has been? Like, he's not someone who should be getting anything besides sentence forever.
Truly.
Like, just you're sort
jail
of just,
forever. That's your sentence.
It's one of those. I know. I'd be like, bitch, where's Chrissy's court on Quibi when you need it? So in June 2003, he was charged with the murder of Georgia Wickstead. And then in 2005, he was charged with the murders of Charlotte Lamb and Jill Barcombe. So sort of obviously, as we've seen in a lot of cases, the more and more advancement in like DNA technology that we get, the better, like they're more able to link him to other crimes. And then kind of when they have his MO down. So he was linked through DNA, blood, fingerprints. He went to trial in January 2010 to represent himself. Ted Bundy AF. People always are starting to link. Yeah, they
between the IQ claim and representing himself, I'm like, oh, this is straight out of the 1970s serial killer book.
Yeah, and also people like everyone saying like, oh, he was so attractive, and looking at pictures being like, oh, okay.
How do you think he stacks up to Ted Bundy? I was like, I could see it maybe a little bit more if you're into long hair.
And like an old fashioned camera gets you off, you know what I mean? Then
I mean, he at least had like a clearer eyebrow separation,
right?
That's true.
Ted Bundy's eyebrows were that of like mine in sixth grade.
Yeah,
just
you could
one
have really
weird...
used some threading.
Yeah. So So obviously, shockingly, like when most people defend themselves in trial, doesn't work out well, especially when you're a murderer. So he was convicted and sentenced. Yeah,
especially when you did it.
Especially.
It doesn't work out well, especially if you did it.
Hey, guys, I watch enough SVU to connect yet. So on March 9th, 2010, he was convicted and sentenced to death. The police estimate that he killed as many as 130 people. A lot of this has come into light from finding more bodies and also looking at all the photos that he's taken and kind of looking at like the, unfortunately, like the albums and scrapbooks that he have of pictures there, because a lot of them have been identified as young girls or girls in their 20s that families have been like, oh, they've been missing for like decades that we've been trying to find them. So a lot of it is unfortunately just connecting the dots that he did this to them and their bodies just haven't been found yet. In 2013, he was convicted and sentenced to 25 more years for the murders of flight attendant Cornelia Criley, who was 23, and the daughter of nightclub owner Ellen Hoover in New York. And it was interesting because she was like a very like kind of well-known socialite back then that she had like famous godparents and all of this stuff that sort of, it made like headline news, but her body wasn't found for like months after the murder happened. And then also you're going from LA to New York. So no one was able to like totally pinpoint it at the time. So kind of what, there's over 100 identified women still from his collections. But most like recently in 2016, he was charged for the 1977 Wyoming murder of Christine Ruth Thornton. And it was a cold case. The prosecutor decided not to extradite him. So he stayed in prison in California. And one thing I do remember too, is that the girl, Robin Samso, I know her mom made a plaque for her at the pier, which I felt like is just sort of like a nice way to honor her. And her whole thing was like, because they asked her, like, because she was talking with like the city. It was like, they're like, oh, what do you want on the plaque? She was like, just anything about her, anything about kindness, but I don't want a single like reference to how she was murdered or anything about this killer, because I want it to be about her type of thing, which obviously makes sense.
Yeah.
Jeez.
What a creep.
I know. He's a doozy.
It's one of those ones, like the cults and the MLMs are like fun to riff on, but then after the murders, you especially get a lot like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think next week a lighter one. Although I did say I was like, let's do Manson.
maybe we'll do a week in between. People really like the cults too, but what other cults are
you
left?
You love cults and MLM. I'm sure we could find.
Everyone wants to talk about Waco on Netflix.
Oh yeah,
and the Branch Davidians.
We could do that.
That one I feel like would maybe be a 2-part episode because I feel like there's like a whole lot to talk about.
Oh. I mean, we could deep dive Landmark, the one that I did.
Yes. That could be good.
It's just like a little teaser because I know that there's also a lot of people in a lot of our listeners that have done it, or I know some people were like made to do it through different like work functions and stuff like that.
I don't know if I think it's a cult. I just think it's like a half pyramid scheme and
it's
like
kind of
cults like ideals, but like they're not making you live on a compound in the middle of nowhere.
No, and I think that there were like before it became Landmark, it was something else that was a little more intense.
Oh yeah, I feel like it had gotten shut down before, and then the same people started
people
a new
like
company.
Pee. Yeah,
something crazy like that.
You had to just like sit in your chair and pee on yourself or something.
Or we could do no, we did LuLaRoe, right? Yeah, the leggings.
Yeah, I was like, we have to put on blast all the. I feel like just like a group of MLMs that are trying so hard now during the quarantine to make people join them. So
fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Gross.
Oh yeah.
Maybe Herbalife.
Ooh.
A classic.
Herbalife is good.
I was on a 7-hour delayed flight with them, so they are close to home. I'm surprised they didn't join.
Oh god. I'm surprised they didn't get you. They'd be like, here, have this wine. And you'd be like, okay.
I'd be like, hi, what? No, I love The Office and,
and Ryan Gosling.
And pickles. Bananas. Yeah.
Bananas. Ugh.
I'm down to watch The Waco. There's a documentary on right now?
Yes, it's on Netflix.
Yeah. I don't know if Netflix made it or they just kind of like repurposed one that had been on a TV show or network.
Is it like episodes or is it like a movie?
I know nothing about it. I just see people in the Facebook group talk about it and I'm like, maybe I'll watch that, but I'm still so behind.
I know.
All right. Well, we'll figure out our life of what to get.
Yeah. We also never even talked about McMillions. I watched it like 3 months too late, but still.
I know. Well, we a little bit last week, we talked about how it was kind of boring.
Yeah.
And that's my entire take
Most
on it.
Most people that I know, like, didn't even finish it.
I'm
someone
it.
You know.
I'm someone. Yeah, that's two out
okay,
of three.
Okay, so I'm actually the only person who did finish it. I'm honored.
Yes, congratulations. You won McMillions.
Yes.
You can go to a McDonald's drive-thru and I'll Venmo you a dollar to get french fries.
Truly.
Honestly, I would take you up on that.
Done. I need to DoorDash McDonald's again. It was yes. I ordered 20 nuggets, 2 cheeseburgers, an apple pie, and fries.
Wow.
I needed to reach a minimum. I didn't need it at all. I was like, bring all that shit to my bedroom.
You are who and you become when you have to reach a minimum. That's the new mantra.
I ate it watching Drag Race, which I did start season 7 because people DM'd me that I should start it, that I should do 7. It's not boring. And you guys are right. You guys don't do Drag Race though, right?
I tap in on and off. I never did the All Stars, but I watch like some of the,
Okay. I just rented, it's something called MTV Hits, which I'm really interested to see what else they have on this channel. It's like $6 a month, but you can watch all the seasons.
Okay. Well, I got so we can watch this.
That's right. You said something with Tubi or Tubby. Tubi.
What the hell was that?
Who knows? I'm sure
it's a streaming service, I think. Yeah. TUBI.
TUBI. And it has so if any of you want to LOL with me, the documentary I watched for The Dating Game Killer is on it. And it was this cool, this series, Murder Made Me Famous. So it's every episode is like an hour long about a different type of murderer. But the reenactment truly, truly, truly made me laugh out loud. And it was like an awkward time because I'm like, this shouldn't be laughing right now. But
I think crime show reenactments are like single-handedly just keeping actors at work. Like I get those casting notices every day. It's like crime reenactment. Like, I mean, there's just so many different channels that are constantly like, they went into a car, they never came out, and it's just somebody like a shadow of somebody, but like that person got paid like probably $350 to get into that car.
Casey, that could be your big break.
I mean, I'll be getting to the car.
Play like murder victim number 2 on Law and Order.
I have a friend that literally like that's like her job is she's like dead bodies all the time on like the CSIs and all of them.
I wonder what makes her good
all
at that.
The time. Like, I don't know. I don't. Good hair. Because sometimes she's face down.
Yeah, like hair that can naturally fan out nicely.
She's not jittery either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I guess I move too much.
You could be still. Yeah, I'd be like, I'm uncomfortable. My tits hurt. Get me out.
No, right? I would just be scratching myself. Yeah.
Can I breathe? Can I breathe? Can I just have a moment to breathe?
Oh, man. Well, also, guys, join the Facebook group if you're not in it, not another true crime group. Also, follow us on Instagram. We finally hit 44K after, like, 2 weeks of being at 43.9. It was driving me absolutely insane.
Literally. Yes.
Follow us at NATC Pod. We have memes and quizzes and fun crime stuff. Yep. You can follow me on Instagram. It's Sarah F. Carter.
You can follow me on Instagram at... Me first, Danny, at Case Face B on Instagram. And if any of you guys are Clue heads playing Clue, we can play friends on this game. It's truly amazing. Yeah,
I love it. And you can follow me at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K. I don't play Clue, but you know, I watch Real Houses of New York. So chat to me about that.
Wait, also, we didn't even have like a musical interlude this episode. I was going to have you sing us out, but what's the dating game theme song? I don't know.
We found love in a hopeless place.
That's amazing.
Our love hurts. Bam.
Oh, yes.
Love shows her. I didn't know any of the words when I got to it.
Beautiful.
That's pretty good.
All right. See I'm going to go next sing Christina week. Aguilera's entire discography now. Off mic.
Oh, nice. Off mic. Thank you.
Betches.